Please turn with me to 1 Kings 19, and we'll read the first 18 verses of 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his coat over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel, and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Mehulah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death anyone who escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death anyone who escapes the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." So the title tonight is Overcoming Depression. And depression is an important issue in America today. According to a 2023 Gallup poll, 29% of all adults have been diagnosed with depression in their lifetime. 18% were currently depressed, and 11% taking medication for their depression. To put that in perspective, if these statistics applied to the 400 people in this room, 72 people would be currently depressed, 44 currently taking depression medication, 120 of us would have been diagnosed with depression at some point in our life. And that is only clinical depression. It does not capture people who are undiagnosed or just dealing with a period of sadness. And the numbers are worse for younger people, with 25% of 18 to 29-year-olds currently experiencing depression. Think about that. That means one in four 18 to 29-year-olds is currently depressed, which is a staggering statistic. Some of this is no doubt due to overdiagnosis, but that likely does not account for most of the numbers. The fact is that people are lonelier and more overwhelmed than ever before. For those in the world, their ultimate source of depression is enmity with God. Fighting against your Creator is a depressing endeavor that you will eventually lose. But even Christians experience depression, periods of sadness, and bouts of melancholy. We are all susceptible to this to more or less of a degree. Sometimes this is due to living in unrepentant sin. Other times it's difficult circumstances, the loss of a loved one, a tough work assignment, marital strife, or the loss of a child turning from the faith. Sometimes you're facing an especially strong spiritual temptation or trial. Satan's attacks may come especially hard and you despair of ever finding the joy of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you don't really know what's causing your depression, but you are feeling its weight and drag in your life. Are you depressed this evening? I have great hope for you. Many great men and women of God experienced severe seasons of depression, including David, Jeremiah, Job, Hannah, and our focus tonight, Elijah. Not only does the Bible give us examples of people who are suffering from depression, but it gives us examples of coming out of depression. Look at Elijah. He was depressed to the point of wanting to die. But God intervenes and he helps him to come out of it and into greater service in God's kingdom. So let us consider the example of Elijah so that we can know how to fight depression and live a joyful, victorious Christian life. So point one, becoming depressed. 1 Kings 19 follows on the heels of a great victory for Elijah in chapter 18. If you remember, Israel experienced a drought for 3 years because of their wickedness under the wicked king Ahab. This culminates in a confrontation between Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. The two altars are set up and two bulls placed on them. The prophets of Baal and Asherah call out to their gods for the whole day to bring fire down upon their altar with no success. Then Elijah steps forward, has his altar drenched in water, prays to God, and fire comes down from heaven and consumes the bull. The people seize the prophets of Baal and put them to death. And after this, Elijah prays to God, and God sends rain. The Holy Spirit also comes upon Elijah and enables him to outrun a chariot. So this is a high point in Elijah's ministry, and you would think that he would be riding that high. But Jezebel hears about all Elijah did and swears that she will kill Elijah in the next 24 hours. Elijah goes into an emotional tailspin. He runs for his life into the desert, sits down under a broom tree, and is ready to die. And it should show us that Satan is always looking for an opportunity to attack. We can get depressed in difficult times, and that is obvious. But we can also get depressed after our greatest victories and wonderful triumphs. We are feeble creatures, and we easily give in to fits of emotion, no matter the situation. Times of triumph create many vulnerabilities. We can assume that we will have a reprieve and falter when no reprieve comes. We can assume that things will always go well and be overwhelmed when another trial arises. And we can become proud of the victory and stop relying on God. In Elijah's case, it seems that he became depressed that all his efforts were for nothing. Despite 3 years of famine, despite an awesome, irrefutable demonstration of God's power, despite the killing of 400 false prophets, Jezebel was still in power and she was still set on killing Elijah. It must have been very frustrating. All that work seemed for naught, and Elijah did not see anyone else rising up to help him. We see this in Elijah's answer to God in verse 10. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. This is a very human and understandable response. We know God is in control, and he works his plan according to his time, as we will see in God's response to Elijah. But all the same, we can understand Elijah's frustration, even if he should have trusted in God. So what does Elijah do? He runs away, collapses under a broom tree, and prays for God to kill him, and then falls asleep. Now, there is some irony in the fact that Elijah is depressed because Jezebel wants to kill him, And his solution is to ask God to kill him instead. But that is where he is. It's important to see that Elijah had no valid reason for his depression. First, we see that his fears about Jezebel were unwarranted because Jezebel's threats were empty. Elijah isn't on the lam for the rest of his life. Jezebel does nothing to make good on her promise, and Elijah lives the rest of his life fairly unencumbered. Second, Elijah served the Almighty, living, and true God. This is the God who miraculously sustained Elijah over 3 years of famine and drought. This is the God who sent fire from heaven to consume Elijah's sacrifice. And this is the God who would continue to preserve Elijah's life. Just a few chapters later in 2 Kings 1, soldiers are sent to get Elijah, and God protects him by sending fire from heaven to destroy the soldiers. Elijah's depression severely underestimates God's power and severely overestimates the power of the enemy. But in this, we see the authenticity of the biblical narrative. Elijah is a great man of God and one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. Remember, it is Elijah who is up there on the Mount of Transfiguration along with Jesus and Moses. Yet the Bible does not hide this episode from us. It shows us the true ups and downs of a real man who was a man just like us. We should appreciate that the Bible gives us examples of real humans who experienced all the emotions and struggles that we face. It helps us to relate and know that God cares for us weak people. Now, this is not to excuse us. Elijah had no reason to be depressed, and we have no reason to be depressed. Elijah's example is to help us come out of depression, not an excuse to fall into depression. But it is comforting to know that our experience is not unique. So point two, how to deal with depression. God deals with Elijah in his depression in a gracious way, and it gives us a lesson on what we should do when we are depressed. So first way to deal with depression is to address your physical needs. God does not immediately deal with Elijah in a moral or spiritual way. Instead, God allows Elijah to sleep and then sends an angel to give Elijah food. Elijah rests again, and the angel comes again to give Elijah more food. Man is both body and spirit, and the two affect each other. Elijah was tired and hungry, and that was an important factor contributing to his depression. The idea that our physical state can affect our mental and spiritual state is not some modern idea. Charles Spurgeon, who himself suffered from many various seasons of depression, wrote in his lectures to my students, "Common sense would be a great gain to some who are ultra-spiritual and attribute all their moods of feelings to some supernatural cause when the real reason lies far nearer at hand. Has it not often happened that an upset stomach has been mistaken for backsliding and bad digestion has been set down as a hard heart?" Spurgeon had a way with words, right? Another way to say it is too many people think they are depressed when they really need to eat and rest. We see that this was part of the issue with Elijah. The food and rest didn't solve his depression completely, but it did help him get to a place where he could hear from God. How about you? When you are downcast, sad, or depressed, do you consider your physical circumstances? Now, there is a balance here. We live in a materialistic age that subscribes to the medical model. This ignores that man is spirit and thus attributes all problems to something physical. That is fundamentally a wrong way of looking at man and can result in medical solutions to spiritual problems. But that does not mean that we should completely ignore the physical. The physical affects the spiritual just like the spiritual affects the physical. God considers the whole person and deals with the whole man. When you are feeling down, consider, is there some health-related issue that is causing your depression? Are you eating right, sleeping enough, and exercising regularly? All these can significantly affect your mood. Dealing with these basic elements is essential. There are likely additional spiritual considerations, but those will be easier to deal with once you are physically well. Second way to deal with depression is to hear the word of the Lord. Once Elijah gets some food and rest, he travels 40 days and nights to Hebron, or Horeb, the mountain of God. This is also known as Mount Sinai, where God gave Israel the Ten Commandments. And we see this in Deuteronomy 5, verse 2, when Moses is recounting the giving of the Ten Commandments and notes, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Mount Horeb." At Horeb, God meets with Elijah, asking him what he is doing there, and Elijah states his reason for depression that we already read. God then tells Elijah to go stand in the presence of the Lord. There is a great wind, an earthquake, and a fire, but the Lord was in none of these. Then there is a gentle whisper, and Elijah recognizes it as the voice of the Lord. God is showing Elijah that most of his work is not in great demonstrations of power, mighty acts, or amazing wonders, but in the quiet work of his word. Especially since Elijah just came off a mighty demonstration of God's power when fire came down from heaven, Elijah needed to be reminded that God's normal way of working was through his word, quietly doing its work in people over time. Just because Elijah didn't see massive changes and complete overthrow of wickedness in Israel didn't mean that God was not working. It just means that extreme changes are not normally how God works. And Elijah is not the only person in the Bible to be reminded of God's ways in times of depression. We see this with Asaph in Psalm 73. Asaph was depressed as he saw the wicked prosper, until he entered the sanctuary of God and understood their final destination. Psalm 73:16-17. And we see it too with Habakkuk, who cried out, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save?" Habakkuk 1, verse 2. Until God says, "Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed." Habakkuk 1, verse 5. Even if we are not depressed for the same reason as Elijah, depression always stems from not seeing God in one way or the other. Thus, the antidote to our depression is to remind ourselves of God and his word. Think about it. We serve the living and true God who is sovereign over all and has promised to work out everything for the good of those who love him. What do you really have to be depressed about? Drilling in further, remind yourself of specific scriptures that relate to your specific issues. Are you like Elijah, depressed because of a lack of ministerial success? Remind yourselves of Isaiah 55:8-11. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Maybe you are overwhelmed with anxiety. Remind yourself of Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Are you saddened by your own sin? Remember 1 Timothy 1:15-17. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor, glory forever and ever. Amen." Maybe the world around you depresses you. Read Psalm 2, 4 through 5. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. Whatever the reason for your depression, God's word has the solution. Look to God and he will help you. Third way to deal with depression is to do the next right thing. When Elijah listens to the still, quiet voice, God once again asks what Elijah is doing there. Elijah again repeats his complaint. He has been zealous, Israel has rejected God's covenant, and Elijah is the only one left. Interestingly, God barely addresses anything Elijah says. Instead, God primarily gives Elijah commands. Go back. Anoint Hazael king over Aram. Anoint Jehu over Israel. Anoint Elisha to succeed you as prophet. Now, these actions do address Elijah's complaints. Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha would kill those who have rejected God's covenant, broken down his altars, and killed his prophets. And God does note there are 7,000 in Israel who are still serving God. But God does not get into some discussion or debate with Elijah. He doesn't commiserate with Elijah or validate Elijah's feelings. Instead, God tells Elijah to get up and do the next right thing, the work God has for Elijah to do. We are not told exactly what Elijah felt after this, or if it took time for him to fully come out of his depression. But the next thing we see is Elijah obeying God. The solution to depression is to get up and do what is right. You may not feel like it, nor will you necessarily feel better right away. But as you do the next right thing, and then the next right thing, and then the next, your feelings will follow. We heard a whole sermon by Dr. Spencer on this recently, but don't overcomplicate this. You generally know the next right thing. Get up on time, do your devotions, go to work, come home, lead your wife or submit to your husband, parent your children, talk to your spouse, and then go to bed. Yes, there are tough decisions and times when you are unsure, but that is not the majority of the time. Most of the time, we know the next right thing, and when we do that, we find that God reveals the next right thing and the next. One day, you will find that you don't feel depressed anymore, and you don't even know what happened. This is what seems to have happened to Elijah. And final, fourth way to deal with depression is to find a friend. The last thing Elijah does in this chapter is anoint Elisha as the prophet to succeed him. Elisha agrees and becomes Elijah's attendant. We are not told much about this relationship, but I'm sure it was a godly one where each built the other up. It is likely that Elisha served Elijah for 6 or more years. And we know from 2 Kings 2 that Elisha was fiercely loyal to Elijah and went with Elijah wherever he would go. Elisha also refers to Elijah as my father, indicating a very close bond. Now, Elijah, I'm sure, taught Elisha and helped Elisha more than Elisha helped Elijah. But Elisha was a great companion and friend to Elijah. I'm sure Elisha brought much joy to Elijah, help and encouragement. We can think of how Paul wrote so fondly of co-laborers like Timothy, Priscilla, and Aquila, Phoebe, and others. I'm sure Elijah felt the same way about Elisha. When you are depressed, your greatest need is to remember God and hear from him. God is our ultimate treasure and our surest foundation. But God also gives us fellow believers to be an encouragement and a blessing. We are called to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, Hebrews 10:24. And we especially need that spurring on when we are depressed. The problem is, when you're depressed, it's easy to close down and avoid others. But that is the exact opposite of what we need to do. Instead, we need to go to other Christians and walk with them. Others can help you bear your burdens, Galatians 6, verse 2. They can help you get up when you have fallen, Ecclesiastes 4:12. And they can help you to find strength in the Lord, 1 Samuel 23:16. And simply doing life together helps to lighten your burden and bring joy to your life. You will find out how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, Psalm 133, verse 1. So that is falling into depression and how we get out of depression. But point three, reasons to be depressed. So far, we have looked at why we shouldn't be depressed, but there are people here who have reason to be depressed because you do not have a right relationship with God. God created man in his image to have a relationship with him, but sin ruptures that relationship. This is especially true for those who have never believed in Jesus. You are missing the critical element of your existence. There is a God-sized hole in your life. But your situation is actually worse. It's not simply that you are missing a relationship with God, but that your sin makes you an enemy of God. Romans 8, verse 7, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. You are fighting a losing battle against the Almighty God. This is the primary reason why there is so much depression in the world. Most depressed people are unbelievers who have a sense of their lost condition. Now, this often doesn't manifest itself in such a clear way. People think they are depressed because of their circumstances. They think, if I can just make that change or get that promotion, it'll solve my problem. But these are symptoms of the underlying issue, which is that we are slaves to sin, which makes us sinners in the hands of an angry God. You can picture the sense of loss when you are fighting with your best friend. You are saddened by the rupture in the relationship, and your best friend would normally be the one you go to for counsel and advice on how to solve such a problem. How much more the emptiness when the relationship with the living God, which you were made for, is ruptured. That cannot be filled by someone or something. People try many different solutions. Some turn to drugs and alcohol to dull the pain. Others seek fun, entertainment, and experiences to avoid facing the reality. Others pour themselves into their careers, driving towards greater success, power, and fame. And still others hope to fill their relationship void with family and friends. Although many of these things are fine, some even good, they are no substitute for a relationship with the eternal God. But I do not have a message of depression, but of great hope, because God still wants to have a relationship with you. If it was only us longing for a relationship with God, there would be no hope. But wonder of wonders is that the only true self-sufficient one, Almighty God, wants a relationship with us. And so God made a way for us, his enemies, to be reconciled to him. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against them. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What an amazing promise. No one, not even enemies of God, must remain depressed because no one must remain an enemy of God. So how do you take advantage of this opportunity for reconciliation? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You can cry out to God and be saved. You can cry out to God and be justified. You can cry out to God and be released from your depression. You can be adopted into God's family and then live as his son or daughter in right relationship with him. If you are not a Christian, you must take this fundamental step. The cures to Elijah's depression only truly worked because Elijah believed on Jesus Christ, the Messiah to come. If you have not done that, then I command you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And even for those who are Christians, we must remember that sin still injures our relationship with God. Think about it. You are sinning against not only your Creator, but the God who sent His own Son to die for your sins. That will do serious damage to your relationship. Now, this is true of any sin, but it is especially true of willful, unrepentant sin. Look at David after his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 32, 3 through 4. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. David had willfully committed sin and was unrepentant, and thus he was depressed. So if you are depressed, examine your life. Is there sin in your life? This is not always the case. Elijah was not depressed because of his own sin, but your depression definitely could be because of sin in your life. And if you find sin in your life, what should you do? Psalm 32, verse 5, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." If you are depressed because of your sin, either because you are not saved or you are saved and sinning, then cry out to God and be released from your depression. A few concluding thoughts. So the obvious application is to apply these steps if you are depressed. Take care of your physical health. Hear from God. Do the next right thing and find a friend. But there are a few additional important notes. First is, notice what God does not do to help Elijah. God does not spend time arguing with Elijah about his concerns or even sympathizing with him. Instead, God gives him rest and food, a simple lesson, and then work to do. This is counter to many of the prevailing ideas regarding depression. Often therapy attempts to understand the causes of your depression, or as one summary puts it, explores how early experiences and unconscious patterns may influence current feelings and behaviors. They think that through allowing you to talk and identify negative influences, both past and present, it will help you overcome your depression. This is missing the point that wallowing on our self-pity will not help us out of depression. Now, this does not mean there is no room for sympathizing with a depressed person or the solution is always to just tough it out. But you're not going to get out of depression through talking it out. Notice, too, that God does not tell Elijah to engage in self-care, at least not in the way that it's done today. It is true that God took care of Elijah's physical needs, but most self-care today is more than a good meal and a good night's rest. What most people mean when they say self-care is indulgence and entertainment. But watching YouTube shorts, going for a spa day, or getting some me time are not going to solve your depression. It is not that these things are inherently wrong. It is simply that these things are not God's solution to depression. God's solution is what he did for Elijah. Take care of your physical needs, point yourself back to God's word, do the work God gave you, and fellowship with other believers. Second concluding thought, get help from the man God placed over you. In times of depression, it is especially critical to press into spiritual authorities. For children, this is your parents, and for adults, this is your home group leader and pastor. Elijah did not have this opportunity. He was the prophet of God, so God helped Elijah in a unique way. But the rest of us have the blessing of God-ordained authorities over us who can help us in our times of need. Go to the man of God and tell him what is going on. Be honest. He will not be shocked that you are depressed. If Elijah can get depressed, so can you. Your parents or pastor and leaders are not here to shame you, but to encourage you in Christ. Help is available, but you must avail yourself of it. You cannot be helped if you do not want it. Satan will tempt you to think they will not understand, or it's too embarrassing, or I need to get it under control before I go to my leader, or he's got a lot on his plate, I don't want to bother him, or something else. But they are all lies from the father of lies. Go to your spiritual authority and pour out your heart. You will not be disappointed. Third concluding thought, pray for your pastor. Although we can all learn many things from Elijah's depression, it does highlight the special challenges for pastors and all leaders. The pastor is Satan's primary point of attack. He is especially targeted by enemies and false brothers. He constantly deals with the weight of the ministry, and he does not have a human spiritual leader to go to in his times of depression. Spurgeon, writing again in his letters to my students, which is really a combination of addresses that he made to seminary students, notes, "Our position in the church will also conduce to this. A minister fully equipped for his work will usually be a spirit by himself, above, beyond, and apart from others. The most loving of his people cannot enter into his peculiar thoughts, cares, and temptations. The man whom the Lord raises as a leader becomes a solitary man. No one knows but he who has endured it, the solitude of soul. Only before the Lord does it find rest. This loneliness, which if I mistake not, is felt by many of my brethren, is a fertile source of depression." So I do not say this for you to feel sorry for Pastor Broderick or any other leader. That would not be appropriate, and they would not want it. Nor do I say this for you to do something about it. In many ways, there is nothing to do. This is one of the peculiar burdens that God ordains for ministers to carry. But it should encourage you to pray for your pastor, all church leaders, and really anyone in the position of authority. For God is the one who called, and so he must equip those he called for his work. Fourth and final concluding thought, live the joyful Christian life. God does not want us to live a depressed, sad, pitiful Christian life. He wants for the joy of the Lord to be our strength so that we can be useful in his kingdom. That should be our great desire as well. But often we like the depression or feeling of sadness. It gives us an excuse in our mind for us to do what we want, and it can garner sympathy from others. Do not use this sermon as an encouragement to get or stay depressed. Do not say, "See, Elijah got depressed, so that means I have every right to be depressed as well." That is the exact opposite of the point. Our goal must be to get out of the ditch of sadness and back onto the highway of joyful service to our King. Think about Elijah. This was 40 days out of a whole life of powerful service to God. He didn't get caught in the swirl. He fell, but then he quickly got back up. So too, we should strive to spend as little time in the slough of despond as possible. Do not coddle your feelings by bringing them under the lordship of Christ through the means outlined tonight. Some people are more prone to sadness by nature, and this may be a lifelong struggle for you. But the joyful Christian life is available. And not only is it available, it is God's will for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So do not settle for less. Fight for that joy, experience that joy, and go forth in the Spirit's power to do the next right thing. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help each one here who is depressed to look to you and be delivered. And help us all to go forth in your power and your joy. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.